On this episode of the iFilmmaker podcast, we're going to discuss how I've been able to speed up my editing process to be able to complete big, heavy timelines and deliver projects even faster. Welcome back to another episode of the iFilmmaker podcast. My name is Ariel Martinez. Excited to have you guys on this episode. If you're new here, like I said, my name is Ariel Martinez. I am a full-time freelancer, meaning I do all my work for my clients. I do direct-to-client work a lot, so I'm usually one-man banding it. Quite often, I do everything from video production, setting up the set, audio, lighting, post-production. If they need pre-production, I'm on there too. Basically across the board, I'm hiring people as I need them. Most of the time on my sets, I'm hiring PAs most of the time because I already have all the gear that I need to do my job. In post-production, I'm hiring editors, I'm hiring animators if I need to, but oftentimes I'm doing all the edits myself. The only reason I would hire an editor if it's a workflow that is just incredibly, incredibly big. But on this episode, I want to discuss with you guys how I've been able to supercharge my editing speed. That's right, I've been able to literally increase the speed of my editing, and it's simply by using shortcuts. And this is a no-brainer. I think if you've been editing for a long time, you know that shortcuts are essential for the speed of your editing. I obviously got into shortcuts very early on in my editing, and it's just been a godsend for me. Now, as fast as an editor that I was, or at least I thought I was, everything completely changed for me as soon as I started using my editor's keys keyboard. Now, this is a unique episode because I don't believe I've ever had the actual CEO of a product that I love to use on the show. I'm not getting paid by editor's keys. This is something that I really wanted to share with you guys because it's very, very important. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and start explaining this entire keyboard. I wanted to bring Mark Brown on. I met Mark Brown back in NAB last year, and it was just a treat. And we've been in communication back and forth, and he's just a very great person to get to know. So I wanted to talk to him about editor's keys, a product that I absolutely love. Now, if you follow me on social media, you know that I'm constantly posting about my editor's keyboard. And it's not because I'm getting paid to do this. It's because I genuinely love the product. And I think that I would like to invite more companies on the show and talk to them about products that I absolutely love, that I absolutely enjoy. I will never take money to bring on a CEO to promote their product. That's not how I work. But I really wanted to talk to Mark Brown because I feel like this is an essential tool for me. When I first got my editor's keys keyboard, as fast as I thought I was, the keyboard was just so revolutionary for me because it revealed a lot more shortcuts that I didn't even know existed. And it was awesome. I used to go through the menus and have to use certain kind of features to get something done, and I didn't know that there was a shortcut for that already by default in Premiere. But I'm not going to talk too much about that. Just want to put that disclaimer forward before we get to my conversation with Mark. Mark is a great guy and he really loves the filmmaking community. Stay tuned for the end of the show. We're going to have a giveaway with the keyboard covers in the actual keyboard, the full-on LED backlit keyboard that I actually use. We're going to do a giveaway. We're going to give away several products at the end of the show. With all that out of the way, here's my conversation with Mark Brown, the CEO of Editor's Keys. Mark Brown of Editor's Keys, thanks so much for coming on the iFilmmaker podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Real pleasure.
Man, it was so much fun meeting you over at NAB. What was it, 2 years ago now? It was last year, I believe.
Last year.
Time flies.
I know. I was looking really looking forward to coming back and seeing you again this year and hopefully having a couple of beers and a catch up, and COVID happened and canceled everyone's plans.
Oh my gosh. What a devastation that has been. Yeah. But I mean, it's really helped us to kind of view our work, our industry in a whole new light.
Yeah.
Completely new. tell us about yourself, how you got started with Editor's Keys before, you know, everything, and just a little background on yourself.
Yeah, cool. So, I'm Mark Brown, and I started Editor's Keys way back in 2005. I just left university. I kind of dropped out halfway through, and I was doing media production, television production, and things like that. And I was just kind of, I felt like I was a bit more ahead of the game. I was kind of trying to do work at a TV station in the UK. I kind of learned Premiere as much as I could. And I kind of dropped out to create like a little media production company. And I'd saved up for the big computer, the speakers, the monitor. And the last thing I wanted was an editing keyboard that I'd seen in a big post-production house. But it was part of the kind of mixing console desks at the time. And they were really expensive, like $500 or $600. So I got a friend around and I said, look, I really want one of these shortcut keyboards. I think we should just design some stickers that can kind of go over your own keyboard. And it's essentially what we did. We created these plastic veneers to create a shortcut keyboard that you could stick over your own keyboard, and really just did them for ourselves. And then just threw the rest on eBay. And we were surprised by the amount of people that also wanted the same thing. So Editor's Keys literally came from kind of a hobby. You know, I was just into editing myself, loved media production, and it grew out of a hobby. But yeah, I mean, it started as a sideline kind of gig. And I was also working in television at the time. I was a floor manager for ITV, which is a production company here in the UK. And I was working on shows like Jerry Springer when he came to the UK, and Trisha and Jeremy Kyle, which are kind of like talk shows, like all the talk shows you have in the US.
Wow. That's awesome. So, I mean, just like any business, there's a need in the industry, and you kind of sort of filled in that gap. Ever since I got it, that's one of the things. I mean, I thought I was a pretty good editor, pretty fast editor. Mm. And then I got this, and it just blew my mind on some things that I didn't even know existed. What do you find that to be the case? How often is that the case with people when they kind of start using your keyboard and start seeing all these little shortcuts that they didn't even know existed?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually something we get all of the time. I think we get a real mixture of customers, and it's either people who are beginners and they're learning the shortcuts for the first time, or pros who just really want their edit suites to look nicer and have these kind of the pro gear. But yeah, it's surprising how many shortcuts you think you know until you put the keyboard cover on or get the keyboard out and you're like, oh man, there's like 300 shortcuts here. And there's no way, I don't think, that anyone could remember all of them. But how they essentially work, you know, your own keyboard that someone may have in front of them now has these keyboard shortcuts kind of locked in already. But of course, you can't see them on a normal keyboard. So essentially, the Editor's Keys keyboards give you all of the standard typing letters you would normally have. They have the shortcut icon which corresponds with the program like Final Cut or Premiere you might be using. And then they have the shortcut text as well. So in addition to that, you have, the color-coded keys, and they help you find tools that you might be using in a certain workflow. So if you are, I'm just looking at my Final Cut one in front of me now, and the play buttons are all in pink. The hand tool, blade tool, trim tools, all in yellow. So what you find is when you're in the edit, you can actually kind of go through your editing process much faster than you could if you were just memorizing two or three shortcuts, or even worse, if you were going through like the edit menu and then down to something else and then across to something else. This just speeds up your editing by about 40%, we've seen in some tests. But yeah, it's surprising how many people think they know all of the shortcuts, get one of these, and then they're like, wow, I didn't even know this tool even existed at all, let alone know the shortcut.
Yeah, for, man. Right? It's definitely been revolutionary for me, absolutely. I still don't use absolutely everything because just looking at it, at first glance, you're looking at it and there's some things that stick out to you, but then there's others that I kind of just have to play with to see exactly what that does. Not only did I not know some of these things existed, but I didn't know that some of these features were even available in Premiere itself, because I'm a Premiere editor.
Oh, really?
And you have them for a bunch of different platforms as well. What are all the platforms that are included?
Yeah, so in terms of the video editing side, we do Final Cut, Adobe Premiere, Media Composer, Sony Vegas, which I think is now called Magic Vegas. We've got Pro Tools, Cubase, Photoshop, Illustrator, DaVinci Resolve, of course. And then we've even actually started, have you heard of LumaFusion, the iPad video editing app?
Yeah. You guys released a keyboard cover for the new iPad, for the Apple keyboard that came out with the new iPad Pro.
Mm.
That was rather quickly. So you guys are on top of the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we're on top of all that stuff.
It's been really cool to work with the LumaFusion team. And I'd had LumaFusion already, you know, as I spoke to you about before, I'm really interested in just video editing in general. So I kind of dip in and out of all of the programs. And I was surprised by how many users actually use LumaFusion on an iPad to edit all of their videos, you know, not just mobile, but actually full, you know, entire YouTube channels where they're just doing everything on their iPad. And it's a pretty powerful tool. So we worked with the LumaFusion team. We helped them sort of develop a set of shortcuts that would work well and the cover. And just, yeah, as soon as we saw that magic keyboard come out, we just jumped on it. And it's, nice. Yeah, it's been really successful, actually, that shortcut cover. Because I did think video editing is one of those things. I think you've got your extreme pro level people who will be in a post house with multiple monitors and everything else. And these days you've got kind of everyone down to just hobbyists and YouTubers who maybe even doing YouTube about, you know, non video editing stuff, might be doing makeup tutorials, but they still want to learn how to edit. And I think LumaFusion fits in really well, kind of in the middle of all of those things. You know, you can edit on the go if you're doing something professional, or you can easily just film your kind of YouTube tutorial and bring all that footage onto an iPad and edit that out. So yeah, it's been great to do that and do the first kind of iPad keyboard cover.
Have you done any market research to see where editors are looking to improve on their editing? Like, what have you heard to be the case that where editors want to improve the most?
I think it's a lot of speed. You know, I think editing, as you know, it can be a very slow process. So I think anything that a user can do to, not even just with the shortcuts, but actually speed up rendering time, speed up your workflow in general, like how you get your footage onto your computer, how you lay out your editing timeline, how you maybe even export the best file sizes for places like YouTube. So we're just seeing a whole range. I mean, when we do surveys on editor's keys, to be honest, it's a very wide range. But it's generally that productivity that people just want to continually increase. I think what we're seeing differently now, when I first started editor's keys, the customer base was only professionals. It was only people who had production companies or worked at a production company. Now it's, you know, YouTubers, young singers that are putting out cover videos, all the way up to professionals. So the market has just grown so much. So I think that what people are looking for is just constantly changing now. And I think the barrier to entry has just become so much more cheaper and more accessible. I think it's quite an exciting time for video editing and creating in general.
What are you guys looking on to improve with editor's keys? Like, what other products are in development or something like that to kind of sort of continue to improve your product here?
Yeah. So we have a range of recording equipment. So we have two broadcast grade USB microphones, and we also have a couple of portable vocal booths that we've had for maybe like five to eight years, I think, about now. So we're going to expand both the recording range as well as possibly looking at gaming keyboards. And then one thing that I've always wanted to do that we've kind of worked on and off is we would love to have eventually a display keyboard so that when you shift between different programs, you know, the program will change. We've seen different variations and a couple of companies have tried in the past, but having a OLED screen on each key is just, as you can imagine, super, super expensive to produce and failure rates are high. But that is where we would love to get to eventually. And it's not going to be here anytime soon, but, you know, imagine if you're in Premiere and then you just change to Photoshop, all of the icons will change to Photoshop and whatever program you're in. So that's the ultimate kind of aim for where we're going.
I really like that you guys have the cover for the keyboard and the actual keyboard itself. So one of the things that I did was I was considering switching over to DaVinci, right? I was actually considering seriously to switch over, but, you know, I wasn't going to invest in getting a whole new keyboard. So I was able to just get the cover really quickly, just put it over my Apple keyboard to see if I enjoyed this style of editing better. And I love that I had that option as well before having to fully invest in the full-on keyboard itself.
Yeah, I mean, the covers, I think the great thing about the cover is if you have a MacBook Pro as well. I mean, just before the call, you were saying you spilled a little bit of coffee on a keyboard.
Oh, man.
You know, which is devastating. But so we do the MacBook Pro covers, and they protect your MacBook Pro against dirt, dust, and spills, but then you also get the shortcuts on there too. So, you know, yeah, if you don't want the whole keyboard, there's the cover there for you too. So we're trying to cover everyone's base, no matter kind of where you're at or what your needs are in that sense.
Yeah, I really wish I would have had that cover yesterday.
Yeah, definitely.
Coffee
yeah.
would not be inside. Do you have any sort of warranties that come with each keyboard, any cover, or any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, so it comes with a couple of things. It comes with a full 30-day money-back kind of promise, you know. So if you actually want to try it out, play around with it, and then send it back, if you're not happy with it, you can do that, and that's fine. It's very, very, very rare that anyone ever sends it back. They're always very happy with it. But also it comes with a 1-year warranty on the keyboard and kind of like an extended 3-year warranty. So even if you occasionally get some people who will drop their keyboard and smash a key, you know, we're pretty good here. We're a small company, so we'll post a new key out in the post and free of charge. So we kind of, you know, we want to create a community, really. We're not just a company that wants to sell you something and just go away, please. You know, we want you to be sticking around for a long time. So it's a year warranty, but we support it for many years to come.
So tell me about the microphones. You guys make microphones now. Where did that come from?
So that originally came, this was years ago. We were doing all the video editing keyboards, and probably one of our biggest customers were the BBC and ITV here in the UK. So they had our keyboards in every single edit suite at the television headquarters. And each editor kept saying, you know, can you recommend any good USB microphones? Because we need to give these to our news people when they're out filming news pieces. And to be honest, the video editors, you know, aren't really that into audio all that much. And, you know, the audio people aren't into video. So it was very separated then as well. And we would recommend some USB microphones, and you'd get a call a couple of weeks back, and it was like, guys, why did you recommend these? It's terrible. It's not even broadcast grade. And so we just got to working with them. Ironically, I knew a supplier of Sony. So I kind of spoke to someone there, and we just made one microphone at the time, and we just needed it to be USB broadcast grade and just plug and play. And it was really, really simple. So yeah, I mean, I don't come from a big audio background. So it was really working with a manufacturer who could just kind of build this on spec for us. Really, we had a spec from a customer at the BBC, and we just kind of built it out. So it was a broadcast grade USB mic that they could just plug into their MacBook Pros, record kind of like the voiceover pieces or news pieces, and then they could go into the news packages that would go on to kind of TV that night. So it all started from there, really. And we've just developed them slowly over time. You know, we're still really all about the editing keyboards, but since that time, we were kind of producing the best low cost broadcast grade USB mic for video editors, really. That was the idea. And then since then, we've had a huge increase in YouTubers, singers particularly. So there's a girl called Samantha Harvey, who's got a few million followers, and a few people who have won like American Idol and stuff, who kind of actually just bought them. We never sent them out one, and just loved the mic and kind of organically shared their love for the mic. So it's grown and grown just really through a lot of YouTube singers, to be honest. So that's an area that we're going to push more into. Nice. You just get good feedback on that. So yeah, it's interesting times.
Yeah. Now tell me about, you guys have a very unique color on your, I guess your, your, what's that called? The grid around the actual microphone capsule.
Yeah.
Is that like the wind mesh filter, the pop filter, I guess?
Yeah. So you kind of, yeah, you kind of like the mesh, there's a pop filter inside, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's very unique. You can spot an editor's keys microphone a mile away with that look. Was that on purpose?
No, I'd like to take full credit and say yes, but I think everything was silver at the time, silver or black. And I just thought,
okay,
you know what? Let's just go with some random, not, well, it's not random, it's the company colors, but let's try right. this out and see how it goes. And I didn't intentionally do it because I thought, you know, you're going to spot these in videos, because at the time, YouTube had only really just started. So not many people were putting videos out, but it's definitely worked in our favor because, yeah, I think if we had just done another silver one, it's very hard to, let's be honest, it's very yes. hard to distinguish microphones yeah. if you're really not into them. So having a particular color definitely helps, because people will comment on videos and say, what is that
right.
orange mic? You know, and Jim, I think we're the only company that does an orange one.
It absolutely pops out for sure. It definitely pops out. And if you're listening to this podcast and if you're enjoying Mark's audio, it's coming from one of his editor's keys microphones. So
yeah,
you can
yeah.
also check those out.
Definitely.
So I guess to veer the conversation back to the editing here, the volume up and down is something I didn't even know existed until I saw this keyboard. It has a dedicated audio gain button, which is G, but there's a volume up and down, which takes the actual volume of the clip up and down, which is separate from the gain, which is really cool. I used to, you know, with my mouse, grab that bar and just go up and down.
Yeah. But
that's amazing.
I think that's the thing. It's that kind of just learning a slightly new workflow, a new way of doing things. But once you get that in your mind and you can see that on the keyboard, amazing yeah. how quick it makes it, because you then get used to, just like you say, instead of playing around with the mouse and going to somewhere else in Premiere to change it, you've got just the key, boom, and you've done it. You know, it does make it fast.
And you know what? There's no way I can memorize all this stuff. If I was to go back to a regular keyboard, which I have tried, I just stared at it. It's all blank. It's, you know, the regular silver aluminum with the white buttons, like the Apple keyboards. I literally forget more than half of this stuff. So it's really good to constantly have this as a reminder with the little icons, like the zoom to sequence. I had no idea that there was just one button that you could just zoom out, see, look at your entire timeline. One of the things that happens to me all the time is that I'm editing, I feel like I'm done, great. It's a 10 minute video, but I completely forgot that I put aside a clip all the way at minute number 12. But because I'm not zooming in, I'm not zooming out of the whole thing, and I don't see that clip that's all the way in minute 12. I'm exporting a 12-minute video with like 2 minutes of black time after my real video is done.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so annoying. So I like to every now and then occasionally just hit that, you know, zoom out the sequence and kind of see my entire timeline completely. And that's usually an indicator, like it'll show me if there's anything like kind of lingering out there.
Yeah.
A couple minutes after the edit.
I used to do the same thing in Premiere. I don't know why I used to do this, but instead of having three projects, let's say we were doing like three mini reviews or something, I never used to have project one, two, or three. I would just have one big project with that bit there, a gap, that one there. And then I'd do the same thing. I'd export a clip and it would be like an hour long. I'm like, what have I done here? And then it would just be all of the projects on one. So
You didn't mark the ins and outs?
Yeah, yeah. I was just exporting the entire thing.
And then when you're trying to get rid of the in and out marks, I right click, then you have to go down and click on clear in and out. But that's with the X, it just does it.
Yeah, does it, yeah.
There's such shortcuts for things like that. Instead of going into menu, hitting drop down menus. Man, it's just incredible how fast I've been able to move.
I'm really glad you're enjoying it.
No, absolutely. And it's funny, actually, while we're getting ready for this podcast, I just realized that there are buttons to turn on and off the backlight.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until just now. I mean, I always have it on, but it's cool that that's there. And yeah, it's USB powered, so I can potentially travel with this if I'm taking my laptop with me and I'm traveling, even though you guys have a keyboard cover for the actual laptop keyboard. I like to use the full keyboard with like the long one with the dials on the right side, the proper arrows and all that stuff. it's much more helpful for me.
I've got a question for you. So you said you were thinking of doing switching to DaVinci. How are you finding the two? Are you thinking of moving to DaVinci Resolve, or do you think you'll stick with Premiere?
It was a little overwhelming when I went to DaVinci, and I think it's just more of my lack of not really putting forth the full effort into really giving DaVinci a try. I thought I wanted to do DaVinci because of the color, right? Mm. But realistically, I need to move fast. And a big reason why this keyboard is so appealing to me is that I have to move fast. Mm. And I just prefer to move fast, really. There's some times where I'm shooting edits. Even when I shoot Wadapalooza, we're editing 5-6 videos a day, right? And I have to be able to move fast. In DaVinci, although it gives me great capabilities, the coloring, and again, this might just be me not knowing, I'm not going to go in and edit the water separately from the sky, separately from the ground, separately from the people's skin colors, which is great. And that's beautiful that DaVinci allows that, and they do a fantastic job. Definitely Premiere doesn't allow that. It kind of does, but not in a way that DaVinci does. Like, DaVinci definitely does that better. But that's not something that I absolutely need right now.
Yeah.
If I need to change a car's color, I can change a car's color. I can do that in Premiere. For the extra added benefit, it's just not worth it for me to switch to an entirely new program. Mm. I'm just so fast in Premiere. And for the things that I need, like multicam editing, so much faster, in my opinion, I think, in Premiere. But again, I have given, you know, DaVinci a couple of projects, and it's been fine, but I feel like Premiere has everything that I absolutely need.
Yeah.
My only gripe with Premiere, and it's so annoying, is that when I finish an edit, I'm exporting it and the colors are not what I edited.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a washed down version of it. And that's the most annoying thing ever.
We've had that same issue because before the call, I mentioned that I'm in between. Because of the keyboards we make, I'm in between Final Cut. I play around with Premiere. Lewis, who edits our videos here, is on Premiere and LumaFusion. Yeah. And that's a big issue we've had with Premiere, actually, the export and the color drift. So I think Matt Johnson's done a couple of videos on it and a couple of fixes. Yeah. And I tried that, and that seemed to work for a bit. And then we did something else in H.265. And again, it shifted to a more of kind of orangey tone. And it just seems like one of those issues that Adobe haven't yet fixed.
I feel like it's just such a stupid issue to have. It's something and I know that Premiere, you know, they came out and said that's a broadcasting thing that they're exporting for broadcast, but guys, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, at least give us the option.
Yeah.
It's a simple checkbox. Like, don't do this.
Because it's not even slight sometimes, is it? You can really...
It's very drastic.
Whoa, what's going on
here? It's incredibly washed out. This is not what I colored. Matt Johnson, he did a really good, great video as a Band-Aid for the issue, not for the issue itself.
Yeah,
so
definitely
basically
check
that out. It's a LUT that Adobe gave us to sort of match the same colors that you're about to export. Just throw that LUT over in your export settings and you're good to go, which is what I do now. I do that for all my videos, but you shouldn't have to do that.
No.
You should be able to export exactly what you see on your program, on your timeline. So that's my biggest issue.
Yeah, and there'll be so many people as well who just don't notice it, or notice it and don't take the time to kind of research what they need to do. And so these people are just getting stuck with footage that isn't how they color graded it, you know. I really hope they fix that soon.
And you know what? It doesn't even happen all the time. Sometimes I export stuff and it's perfect. I forget to put the LUT on, and I actually don't realize that it exported fine this time. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it has to be some sort of export setting. I'm sure it's not random.
Yeah.
But it's quite annoying.
We create a kind of a LUT that when you're editing, it kind of looks horrible. And when you export it, we just got to the point where through trial and error, we'd got it to the point we like. And that's kind of what we're doing at the moment, but it's just not the best fix because you're guessing what the end might look like, you know, and it's, real shame.
I want to talk more about that community that you mentioned. How is that going?
So a big thing for me is jumping back into YouTube. You know, I think when YouTube very first started, I put out a few videos on the the Editor's Keys YouTube channel. I think we started in 2006 or 2008. And I was doing videos about Final Cut, and I did a couple of cell phone camera reviews. And the feedback at the time was like, why are you doing this? This is not what people want to see. They want to see the company and just the products. And I was like, well, it's kind of related, and I think it would be great to draw people in. But I listened to too many people who said that was a bad idea. So I kind of stopped the YouTube channel and just used it, you know, as most businesses do, to put out the odd promotional video. Right. And I think it was maybe probably just before we met in Vegas, maybe 6 months before that. I just thought, I want to start this YouTube channel up again, because, you know, I'm kind of a creator myself. I love editing, and running a business, you then fall out of that. You know, you're no longer editing videos. I'm just running a business I love, but I'm now running a business and doing the accounting and doing the marketing and things like that. And I really want to get back into the editing side and the filming side, even if, you know, there's people helping me. So I've kind of got more skin in the game. You know, I can play around with Final Cut and Premiere and all these programs that I love to tinker with. So yeah, the YouTube channel has been a great little journey. We're just doing tutorials to teach people how to get started in even iMovie, Final Cut, Premiere, to help them get started on their journey. And it's been great, because it's reignited my excitement for being a bit of a creator too, and the editing world. And I'm finding that I'm enjoying using Premiere and Final Cut again, because before I was just using it primarily to test the keyboards, and I wasn't doing any editing myself anymore. So yeah, I'm trying to get back in the community myself, and also kind of create a community about video creation and how to edit better in a way.
What has been the general feedback for the videos on YouTube now?
Good. We've grown fairly quickly. We've gone from kind of having 3,000 subscribers. I think we had 3,000 from about 2008 to about a year ago. And then we just kind of ramped it up. We're trying to do at least 3 videos a week. And so we've gone from 3,000 to now 50,000. And it's good. We're still getting kind of small views. So I'm still learning myself. And I think that's one thing we try and put out on the channel a bit as well, is that we're not saying we're the absolute master of like YouTube, but we're growing with you. We're going to be trying this out. We're going to be experimenting with this kit, and, you know, giving a bit of a backstage look at Editor's Keys, and kind of, telling you about products as we're designing them for a change, rather than just, here it is, you know.
Right.
Buy it.
Keep it silent.
Yeah.
Take the whole Canon, Sony, Apple approach of just keeping things silent until the release date.
Yeah, it's shocking you with some news. But I think it's better to have a conversation with people, and it just excites me more, you know, getting to talk to you and talk to you about editing and everything else. It's so much more fun than it is just sitting in an office and working on a business. You know, I love meeting people, talking to people, and YouTube has kind of brought that back for me a lot. And yeah, the feedback's been great so far. So really enjoying it.
That's awesome, man. So where can people find all Editor's Keys products and the YouTube channel and all that stuff?
Yeah, so the website is editorskeys.com, and then luckily every social channel is pretty much /editorskeys. So if you want to check out the YouTube channel, that's youtube.com/editorskeys, and then we're Editor's Keys on Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, and everywhere else.
Mark, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're running a business, but I appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your knowledge, and for your product. Honestly, I really love it. So thank you so much.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to see you again and join you on the podcast.
So I hope you enjoyed that episode with Mark Brown. As you can see, Mark loves the industry. He loves editing. He loves post-production. I really enjoyed this conversation with Mark Brown. Anyways, if you want to enter for a chance to win a keyboard cover for Editor's Keys for your editing program of choice, and also the actual keyboard that I use, the illuminated backlit keyboard that I use from Editor's Keys, we're giving away one of those and 5 covers. We're giving away 5 covers and 1 full backlit Editor's Keys on this giveaway here. All you have to do is go over to iTunes and review our podcast, the iFilmmaker Podcast. Just go over there, review the podcast, and send us a screenshot. Send me the screenshot. You can send it over to myself over at the easiest thing really is to send it to iFilmmakerPodcast@gmail.com. So make sure you go over there and do that. I'm not going to be posting this on social media. I want this to be only for the listeners. So if you're listening to this show and you would like a chance to win a keyboard cover or a illuminated backlit full keyboard, one of their higher end models, we're giving away one of those and five covers. So all you have to do is go over to iTunes, give the show a review, 5-star reviews preferred, and you'll be entered for a chance to win this. Take a screenshot and send it over to iFilmmakerPodcast@gmail.com for a chance to win. Thank you guys for tuning in. You can find links, by the way, if you want to help support the show as well. I do have an affiliate link for Editor's Keys in the show notes for this episode. I appreciate you guys using that link. It definitely helps support the show, also helps support Editor's Keys. I love what they're doing over there, and I really enjoy that they're really into the industry and they really want to genuinely help out the industry and editors as well, freelancers like myself. It helps supercharge my workflow, my speed of editing. I literally just this week, I'm not even kidding, this week alone, I was doing an editing job for a client, and they've literally said they've never seen anybody edit as fast as I do. And that is all thanks to Editor's Keys. I brought my keyboard with me. If you follow me on social media, I brought it with me on the job and they were incredibly impressed. So if you also want to impress your clients on an editing job, this is a good way to do it. So anyways, with all that out of the way, thank you guys for tuning in. You can find links down below to everything, the giveaway, Editor's Keys keyboard, the affiliate link for Editor's Keys down below. Thank you for your support, for tuning in. Thank you, Mark Brown, for the conversation, and I will see you guys on the next episode of the iFilmmaker Podcast.